I'm Frank Vaughn. It's February 28th, 2025, and I am unenthusiastically on TikTok. My handle is at FP Vaughn with three eyes, FP Vaughn the third. You can check me out over there, I guess, if you want to. I can't promise you that my attention span is going to allow me to continue to upload over there, but I guess I'll do it for a while. Getting the most inconsequential news out of the way, for those of you who don't know or don't care, there was an election in Ontario yesterday, and the clear winner was the Voting in Ontario is Useless movement, scoring 55% of electoral support without running a single candidate. Yes, 55% of the electorate stayed home. Of the 45% that participated, 43% went to Doug Ford, which translated into 66% of the seats. So less than a quarter of the electorate scored him a super majority in the Ontario legislature. And look at this perversion of electoral justice. 18.5% of support went to the NDP and they get 27 seats, and 30% went to the Liberals and they only get 14 seats. Welcome to democracy in our kangaroo constitutional monarchy. Now, for my American audience who have no concept or are fascinated by what happens up here, yes, our premiers and our prime ministers can call elections whenever they want. There are no fixed election dates. Kind of crazy, right? For those 120,000, 130,000 or so voters in Ontario who decided to vote for New Blue or the Ontario Party or any of the other options, like they're not third party options, they're fourth, fifth, sixth party options. Congratulations. I think you made the right move. It didn't work out. Ontario does not have an appetite for doing anything grand or new as the entire province goes down the drain by design. I don't get it, but here we are. Moving on to more important news and welcome news. Pentagon will track down and discharge transgender service members. And this is good for everybody because the instances of violence and instability among transgenders is higher than the background population. Who knew that if you were in denial of your own basic biology, it might lead to serious mental illness and consequences? Now, I will say, I have a significant cohort of transgenders who follow my work, and I've had the privilege of asking them, why do you follow me when I say such terrible things about transgenderism? And they say to me, you're right. We're not right in the head, but some of us deal with it better than others. It's an interesting thing. Police arrest transgender woman for allegedly trying to torch Tesla dealership. I see, I can't even read that. It's a dude. It's a dude running around trying to be something that the dude is not. Justin Thomas Nelson, 42, transgender person who goes by the first name Lucy, was arrested Monday night trying to torch a dealership here in Canada. This from our own Alex Zoltan. I like Alex. He does good work. I've received news that another child stabbing has occurred in Canada, this one in Grand Prairie, Alberta. Small town, Grand Prairie, Alberta. I'll have an update as more information becomes available. Again, it's another transgender. Now, Alex says, well, this is all horribly tragic and all too indicative of our profoundly broken healthcare and justice systems. I think it's also important to not sensationalize the coincidence or to look for political patterns that belie the point. Well, that's Alex's choice, but I will look for those patterns right now. This is a study, intimate partner violence in transgender populations, which shows that they are between two and three times more likely to commit violence and acts of sexual violence than the background-based population. The fact is, we have all kinds of studies that talk about this 2016 UCLA study on transgender violence. We got a 2021 Swedish study, 2022 U.S. federal prison data. The Nashville school shooting happened. This goes back a long way. Predator who claimed to be transgender declared dangerous offender. You know, you wouldn't even write this today. This is from 2014, just to show that there's a history that goes back a long way when it comes to knowing that transgenders are more prone to violence. We have a long history, but you wouldn't write this headline in today's modern Canada, because anybody who claims to be transgender is automatically to be believed. So we've got guys in our women's prison system and in our shelter system who are taking selfies in mirrors of their raging hard-ons and bragging about it, and we're supposed to pretend that they're women and that they're there for non-nefarious purposes. We have Jacob Blair, 2022, transgender man convicted of sexual assault in Alberta. Toronto Shelter Assault, 2019, transgender individual charged with sexual assault in Toronto Women's Shelter. Christopher Hembrook, transgender man sexually assaulted women in Toronto shelters. Madeline Harks, transgender sex offender with history of violent assaults, released to Brampton. Terry D'Souza, 2018, transgender woman convicted of violent sexual assault in BC prison. Cynthia Kavanaugh, 2001, transgender woman convicted of violent murder and rape in Vancouver. Jessica Yanev, famous Jessica Yanev, accused of assault in BC, linked to prior violent instances. Marie-Pierre Renault, 2017, transgender individual convicted of violent rape in Edmonton. Kingston, assault, transgender person charged with violent assault in Ontario prison. Julie Berman, murder, transgender woman killed in hate crime, but perpetrator was transgender as well. There is a well-established history, a well-established pattern, if you will, that these people are not all well upstairs. And under this current government, we are putting them in women's facilities. We're letting them in change rooms where your minor daughters are trying to change in private. And we're saying that this is progressive. We're eliminating male and female spaces and trying to blend them all together. In Canada, unlike the United States, which is heading as fast as they can away from this madness, we are still committed to it. When are we going to wake up? I've often made the argument that society is defined not by what it says yes to, but far more by what it says no to. It is time to end the tolerance for men in women's spaces, men live-action role-playing as something they are not. It's also, likewise, time to end the practice of telling people they can be born in the wrong body. Interestingly, godless people saying that they can be born in the wrong body and that essentially mutilation is the path forward to restoring yourself to what you should have been born. It is mental illness. It is not normal. We shouldn't try and normalize it. It is terrible for society. It is terrible for demographic resilience. Why are we playing politically correct with this madness in 2025? The experiment has failed. Outside of the poor kid who got stabbed in Grand Prairie, the other tragedy that's going to come out of that guy's crime is that he's going to be sent to a woman's prison, likely, or he's going to be released by the Canadian justice system back onto the streets where he's at risk of reoffending. We'll see what they do. Maybe they've already decided. I don't know. There's only so deep down that rabbit hole I need to go because the conclusions are already there. The evidence is conclusive. It's a problem in society. Moving on, Wyatt Claypool says, Abacus and Innovation, two polling houses, are the only two pollsters who seem to actually be properly balancing their demographics so their polls don't look like a downtown Toronto Starbucks line. As I said, many pollsters in this country are trying to manufacture carny mania by rigging their data to create a narrative that the Liberals are in a position to defeat the CPC. And the hope is that people will psychologically fall for it and get back in line for the Liberal Party. Now, Abacus is picking up on the fact that in the post-Trudeau world, which we're not even in yet, he's still prime minister. He just promised to resign a little bit later. He's still prime minister. There is a large contingent of the Canadian public that thinks swapping out Trudeau actually presents some kind of solution, and so they're drifting back towards the Liberal Party. But it's not the big drift that some of the polling houses are showing. The Conservatives are still comfortably in the lead. This is why I believe that in the wake of tariffs, which are coming down March 4th and then another round April 2nd, that news broke after I went, after I started filming yesterday, so it wasn't included in my videos. Trump is proceeding ahead, and this will give the Liberals and the NDP every excuse they need under a trade war where their tariffs, their response to the Americans, will be what actually causes the price of your essentials to rise and the purchasing power of your dollar to fall. Not what they're going to say. They're going to blame Trump. It's actually what they're going to do. They're going to trigger an emergency. Then they're going to use that emergency as a pretext to delay elections because they can't afford to hand the election to Poilievre, who they have successfully framed as in the pocket of Donald Trump. This article by Rupa Subramania, will Trump's tariffs rob victory from Canada's conservatives? No. It's a Canadian heritage moment that conservatives snatch defeat from the jaws of victory over and over again, and they do it the same way every time. They allow the left in this country to define them, and then they start jumping through the left's hoops. And this is exactly what has happened to poor Polyev. He was doing good. He wasn't even that risky. He wasn't taking really grand positions. He was coasting his way to an easy victory with 45% of support. But then he decided to jump on board with Team Canada. They have been undercutting his platform for months now, going back on their carbon tax and adopting several conservative positions. They started cutting immigration before Polyev even talked about it. And then he started talking about lowering it to 250,000. And then he started talking about how foreign international students are manipulating our system. Only after the Liberals did something did he start speaking on it. So he's been undercutting himself this entire time, just like Scheer, just like O'Toole. And now when it comes to Donald Trump, he is trying to position himself as the toughest member of Team Canada, that he will do exactly what the Liberals and the NDP and the Ford government in Ontario and just about every premier in this country, other than Moe and Smith, who have taken a more middle diplomatic road, are doing. Polyev wants the trade war. He's part of Team Canada. Not only does he want an unending slaughter in Ukraine, just like the other political parties at the federal level in this country, there is no open advocate for peace. He also wants to pursue this trade war. Instead of getting tough on the border, instead of doing what the Americans want and cutting the fentanyl supply, most of our intelligentsia in this country denies that Canada has a massive scale corruption problem, which myself and guys like Sam Cooper have put the meat on the bones. We've proven that it exists. We've proven that it is a massive part of our gross domestic product as a nation. But nobody wants to talk about that. Polyev had an opportunity to take a diplomatic middle road when it comes to the Americans. He could have walked the tightrope. Nobody's doing it. And he decided not to do it. He just jumped in bed with Team Canada. Now, with all that said, try as Polyev and his team might, they're having a hard time positioning themselves to lose the election. They're doing their best. But the Canadian public is genuinely tired of the Liberal NDP coalition, and you can see it in the polling data, as Wyatt Claypool pointed out. The problem is, the people responsible for giving Canada an election are still in power. So what Polyev has done, not only is he jumping through their hoops, not only is he allowing them to define him and spending his political energy fighting their definition of who he is, he's also not going to get, in my view, a spring election. I could be wrong. I want to put that out there, but I don't see it as likely because he's positioned to still win it. So those who are behind the absolute loss of trust, why the U.S. sees Canada as the weak link in Five Eyes, this discussed the angle about the People's Liberation Army's breach of Canada's Level 4 lab in Winnipeg and the inexplicable return of the main suspects, Dr. Q and Keating Ching, to China after allegedly transferring sensitive bioweapons research to Wuhan. This is something that people have forgotten. I've been talking about the presence of triads. I've been talking about the presence of Chinese troops being trained on Canadian soil and them operating police stations, and the undermining of Canada is an ongoing story. It's been known for 40 years. As I pointed out in previous videos, entire books have been written on the subject. You should read them. They are valuable resources for anybody who wants to learn about the level of Canada being compromised. And it appears that we helped the Chinese cover up their breach of the lab by allowing them to get their nationals back before we could press charges. This is a huge problem for Pierre Polyev, because the Chinese party, the people that are being represented by our politicians, those politicians are still in office right now. And this, the Carney-Trudeau nexus, how financial elites from Davos to Beijing are shaping Canada's next federal election. And this is just the Carney-Trudeau nexus, a web of global influence. Carney's being billed as an outsider coming in to save Canada. What he's coming here to do is put Canada back on its proper globalist track. We've almost fallen off it. He is here because there is immense pressure from the United States to turn North America into a more nationalist, continentally nationalist ideal. And you can see it happening in the United States. If you get outside the mainstream media, all the firings of personnel, the complete overhaul of the federal government is eliminating the globalists and the deep state from U.S. politics, or at least attempting to. And Trump knows what has happened in Canada. If I out here, just a peasant in Saskatchewan, if I understand and I can put the evidence together, and if guys like Sam Cooper, really smart dudes who can write books about the subject, or the other books mentioned, you have to know that he has access to far better and more superior information than I do. He knows exactly what Canada is. And if he has identified, rightly, that China is the main geopolitical adversary, he might be able to accept China's existence and sphere of influence, but he cannot accept China having infiltrated both Canada and Mexico and undermining the United States from those bridgeheads. So things are changing fundamentally. Carney is coming in to maintain the status quo. He is coming in to use emergency powers to create a virtual socialist dictatorship right here in Canada. He's campaigning on it. And with Jagmeet Singh's party, the NDP, in the toilet, and that's, keep in mind, Jagmeet Singh is on no-fly list. He can't go to India. He's a recognized terrorist sympathizer by other nations. He's the head of a party that is in the toilet. They're going to be wiped out. They may not have a single seat in the House of Commons if we get an election. Do you honestly think any of these players are going to give Polyev the election that puts him in office, where he can then maybe flip his script and make a deal with the United States that preserves the status quo? And God help us, the status quo is probably the worst outcome. Because this federation, as I have pointed out many times in my videos, is so backwards. The citizens are so disenfranchised. We have so little citizen power here. It's pathetic on a point-by-point comparison, objectively pathetic compared to our American counterparts. The Canadian public, the Canadian people, even those who disagree with me, deserve a better deal. Because the people who disagree with me, you just don't know. You have no idea what a bad deal you've gotten out of this country this entire time. We are in debt. We are overtaxed. We have no representation. Western Canada lives under the yoke of Ottawa. I implore at every chance I get Premier Smith and Premier Moe to recognize that it's the Americans who have been a better friend than Ottawa and the Laurentian elites who have opposed Western prosperity every step of the way for the last 150 years. What have they done for us? The Americans are just there waiting to buy our product. There's a realignment happening. This is the globalist opportunity for them to use Canada, use the Canadian citizen, use your livelihood, use the purchasing power of your savings as a weapon, sacrificing you to undermine the Americans. At least that's what they think. They want to use every card at their disposal to slow Trump down. They've lost the United States domestically. In 2016, they were able to hold on through lawfare and through bewilderment. But the tables have turned this time, and Trump is using bewilderment to fuddle his enemies. And America is falling back into nationalist hands. And the eye of America is squarely on Canada. That's why the tariffs are coming down. And that's why we are about to embark on this suicidal trajectory. It is not Trump's tariffs that are going to hurt you. It is Mark Carney. It is Jagmeet Singh. It is Pierre Polyev. He wants it too. You can't absolve the man of guilt because you want a change of government. I'm with you. Up until recently, I was absolutely certain I was going to vote CPC because on some things, getting tough on crime, the loosey-goosey kind of language about there being only two genders and only two sexes. I don't know. He's kind of wishy-washy. Pierre is he only really looks good because he's not as wishy-washy as Scheer, and he's not as flip-floppy as O'Toole. But he's run into the same problems. And I don't like his stance on Ukraine. I don't like his stance re the United States. The Americans are not our enemies. This idea that they're unreliable trading partners, they've been holding our hands all this time, giving us all this capital. And now all of a sudden we're going to pretend that trading partners thousands of miles away are better alternatives to those who live next door? What did they do that was so wrong, other than call us out for what we've become? It is high time for Canadians to wake up and smell the roses. It is high time for us to realize what we are and what we are not. And it is high time to realize that if we want to save our people and our land, we better start thinking much bigger than this federation, because almost any other option is better than remaining as we are. If you want the truth and you value it, please consider supporting my channel via the website, frankvaughn.ca. I appreciate it. And as always, I offer this work freely if you can't. Did you know that I have a website, frankvaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again? And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.